Welcome back in hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Looking ahead to the matchup for the Titans this weekend against the Baltimore Ravens in the playoffs, opening weekend of playoff action in the NFL. And to help us talk more about that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in Jeff Zarebek from The Athletic, covers the Baltimore Ravens. Jeff, what's going on, man? Thanks for taking time to join us.
My pleasure, guys. Good morning and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you as well, Jeff. So the Ravens obviously playing really well right now, rolled off five consecutive wins. What's been the difference for them during this stretch where they've been playing a whole lot better football?
I think they found their identity, especially offensively. Early in the year, they seemed to be caught between, you know, trying to be something they really were not, trying to prove that they could throw the ball and beat teams with, through the air, and they didn't have to run the ball as much. And, it really is not them. I mean, their game is running the ball and running the ball a lot and then mixing in some shots down the field, getting Jackson some easy completions and then taking a couple shots. And they just couldn't find that offensive identity earlier in the year. I mean, some of that was because their offensive line wasn't the same. That stabilized a little bit. Other reasons, I mean, you know, they've gotten J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards more in the backfield and kind of relegated Mark Ingram to either a healthy scratch or the third guy. And Edwards and Dobbins have given them a little more speed and elusiveness. So they've definitely made some changes. But I just think it's just getting back to, you know, what made them so good last year. And that's running the ball, controlling possession, being aggressive, on fourth down, stuff like that. And like some teams, they had the COVID issues and they moved beyond that. And I think that kind of was a galvanizing thing for them too. And they feel like they're pretty healthy and playing well at the right time.
And obviously, Jeff, different up front. I guess if there's one, you know, a big personnel difference from the Ravens in that first meeting on November 22nd, they've got their guys back up front defensively, right?
Yeah. I mean, they didn't have Calais Campbell. They didn't have Brandon Williams, their, you know, run-stuffing nose tackle. And those guys are back. They're healthy. I don't know how much it's going to matter, but the Ravens barely, their defensive guys have not played a lot of snaps lately. They've been blowing teams out. Their defense only played like 40 snaps this past week. And obviously their main guys weren't in there for all those. So, those guys should be fresh and healthy again. And it should definitely help. You know, obviously the issue is going to be stopping Derrick Henry, but there's other issues that the Titans present offensively. But given how the last two games have went, it's always going to start with Henry, and they're better equipped, heading into this one. To at least limit Derrick Henry than they were the last time the teams played.
And Jeff, you know, with Lamar Jackson, you know, fair or unfair, there's been this stigma the last couple of years that, yeah, he's been great, but he doesn't have what it takes to get it done in the playoffs and go on a deep run. Number one, how fair or unfair do you think that is? And number two, how much of a driving force do you think that is in his mind right now to prove that he has what it takes to get it done come playoff time?
Yeah, I definitely think it is. I mean, he denies it. He says he doesn't listen to any of that stuff. But, that's going to be the issue with him until he gets it done. Now, what I think is unfair is that he can't win a big game. I mean, he's won plenty of big games over the last 2 years. They've beaten some really good teams. They won must-game win games down the stretch. That game in Cleveland on Monday night, if they lose that game, they're probably out of the playoffs. So he's won big games, but playoffs are a different animal. And so far, not only are they 0-2, in the playoffs with Jackson as the quarterback, but he hasn't played very well. Now, the first one against the Chargers, he took over midseason. He was a rookie. They really didn't even have an offense in place. I don't give him a pass, but I think he overlooked that one a little bit. Obviously, he didn't play well against the Titans last January. He also didn't get a lot of help. I mean, you know, they were dropping balls and their offensive line got whooped by the Titans front, And, he didn't play well and he's listened to it for a year now. So, that's the next step for him to start winning some playoff games. And this is the next opportunity and that it comes against a Titans team that's had the Ravens number. I think that only adds to it.
Yeah, obviously there's history, Jeff, you know, and going way back, and go back 20 years to Ray Lewis and, you know, the Titans as the number one seed, and obviously the Ravens come into Nashville and win. Neither of these teams has ever beaten the other at home in the playoffs. But that's more for the fans. But the recent history, you know, last year, obviously, this last game, little pregame stuff going on. I still don't know if Harbaugh and, you know, Vrabel shook hands or if they just, like, waved at each other, whatever, you know, all that stuff. Do you think – is there extra – I mean, it's a playoff game, so, like, that should be plenty, right? But is there a little extra here? Are we going to see a little bit of more of a chippy game, you think, Sunday, given this recent history?
Yeah, you know, I think that's fair. You know, again, I think some of that is always – not just in this case, but I think some of that's always going to be overblown a little bit. And, you know, once the whistle blows and the game start, you know, none of that stuff kind of matters. You know, I don't know that that's going to help the Ravens deal with Derrick Henry or, you know, stop Ryan Tannehill or any of that. But, you know, it makes for good storylines, and I think it'll make for an interesting week. You know, there's no open locker rooms, so there probably won't be as much talk as there might normally be during a matchup of this. But the Ravens are a prideful team. And they've been humbled pretty good twice on their home field, bullied, punked, whatever you want to call it. And that has got to stick with them a little bit. This is a Baltimore team that prides itself on kind of being the bullies, and that's how their franchise has been identified since that 2000, you know, Super Bowl team. And that's just kind of how it's been for them. And it's been the opposite. The shoe's been on the other foot when these two teams have met. And I expect there to be a lot of emotion. I'm sure there will be some extracurriculars, particularly early in the game. And whatever team handles the kind of the emotion of it will, better. That'll certainly help. But when it comes down to it, I think it'll impact us more this week and the excitement around the game more than it actually impact who wins on Sunday.
Jeff Zarebeck from The Athletic on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Jeff, Hollywood Brown went through a stretch this year where he was pretty clearly frustrated with his role in the offense and the amount of targets that he was getting. Where is he now mentally, do you think, and how much more involved has he been in this offense down the stretch?
I think, yeah, that's a great point. And, you know, we're all predicting him as kind of the key player to watch when the Ravens and Titans played in November just because of what he did in the playoff game. He's one of the few Ravens players who played well in that game. And then he goes out, and I think he was targeted three times, and he was shut out. And that was sort of how it went for him earlier this season. He was dropping the ball too much. You didn't see him getting much separation. There were missing opportunities. It wasn't all on him. But he's turned it around a little. They're still not seeing the big plays. They're still missing on those, you know, the deep passes and the, you know, catching runs where he reels off 30 or 40 yards. They're just not gotten that from him. He had a key drop I don't know if it was key. They won 38-3, but he had an early drop on what would have been a bomb, against the Bengals Sunday. It's kind of been emblematic of his season. You know, there's plays there to be made, and they're just not connecting. But what they are doing now, they're utilizing him in the red zone. He's finding ways to get open in the end zone. Him and Lamar Jackson are best friends. There's a trust there, and they're connecting. And, you know, his numbers are better than last year. I think people predicted a much bigger jump than he's made, but his numbers across the board are pretty much better. And he settled in much better. I think his confidence is back a little bit. And, you know, I expect him to be a factor. The Ravens have to find a way to get him the ball and get him involved, because everybody knows, you know, they like to run the ball, and Mark Andrews is going to be a popular target Sunday. So you need that downfield threat to give the Titans something to think about.
You mentioned, you know, being bullied, Jeff. Obviously, I think back to the A.J. Brown touchdown in the fourth quarter of that game. And just in general, A.J. Brown, Corey Davis, both had big games. How do you see that matchup this time around on the outside?
Yeah, I think when you went into that last game, you knew Derrick Henry was going to get it his. You know, the Ravens were without their top two interior run stuffers. Their middle line, their inside linebackers are mostly rookies. You know, you got Patrick Queen, a first-round pick, and Malik Harrison was a third-rounder. They played a lot in that game. So I think everybody knew they were going to have trouble stopping Derrick Henry. And as long as he didn't just go off and just, you know, like he did this past Sunday, you accept that. What you couldn't accept was the Titans receivers clearly winning that matchup against the Ravens, you know, corners who were, you know, two first-team All-Pros last year. So the Ravens need to be better in that area. They definitely do. You know, Davis and Brown are really good players. They're obviously going to make plays. I mean, you know, you can't shut that totally down. But, you know, you have to hope that if you're the Ravens, that Humphrey and Peters make some plays too. I mean, Marlon Humphrey's been their best defensive player all year. You know, he causes turnovers. He's really strong in coverage. He moves from the slot outside. He does a lot of things for them. He blitzes. And they need him to be at the top of his game. And you know, as I said, Henry will get his. You know that. It's just, can they prevent Brown and Davis from really going off and make things a little more difficult on Tannehill in the passing game? If they're able to do that and they can kind of key in on Henry, you know, I like the Ravens' chances. But they weren't able to get that done in November.
Jeff Cerebeck from The Athletic has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Show. Jeff, really appreciate you taking time to join us. Great stuff, and very much looking forward to this one on Sunday. Should be fun.
Thanks, guys. Enjoy the game. Have a good rest of the week.
Absolutely. You as well. Jeff Cerebeck from The Athletic covers the Baltimore Ravens, does great work on theathletic.com. When we come back, did the Titans defense potentially catch a break going up against the Ravens offensively in this matchup? Or does it really matter anymore with this Titans defense? We'll discuss on the other side. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking your reaction all show long. Looking ahead to the Titans and the Ravens coming up on Sunday. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025 on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And Joe, it's interesting to look at this matchup, and if you're the Titans, I don't know if you feel great going up against anybody in their offense in the NFL, given how bad your defense has been this year. But the Ravens are a different team offensively. They're not going to just kill you down the field in the passing game over the middle. With these intermediate routes, they're more of a running team, and as Jeff Cerebeck said in the last segment, they've gotten back to more of their identity in running the football in the last few weeks if you're the Titans. So obviously, if you're the Ravens, so obviously that's not the way that a lot of teams in today's NFL handle things offensively. As you look at this matchup, Joe, for the Titans defensively, is this potentially the best matchup they could have asked for, given the weaknesses of their defense and the strengths of the Baltimore offense in the playoffs, given the other teams that are out there?
I would still pick Pittsburgh if I had to rank what offense would you want to face right now in these playoffs. I would pick Pittsburgh. Reason being, yes, Adoree Jackson has not been great yet, but I still think the Titans match up a lot better with the Steelers in the back end if they played them right now than they did back in October. Also, the Steelers just simply don't run the ball at all. Right. And, you know, I think that would be a little bit better matchup, but I would go here. I would go number two here. I mean, you know, you still, it's a very different, like the lack of pass rush is not as magnified when you play the Ravens. It's just a different kind of game. It's a lot of option football. It's a lot of assignment football on defense. And again, the Titans, look, I mean, in the calendar year past, they've played them twice and they've done a really good job. Now, let's separate last year's defense, coordinator, the personnel, the whole thing. It was much better than this year's defense, but even this year's defense did a pretty good job. So based on what we've seen, they seem to have a pretty good formula for beating the Ravens. Doesn't guarantee it's going to work Sunday, but at least they have an idea of what they need to do.
And it's interesting, we've talked about how bad the defense has been all season long, and Dan Graziano came out with a very interesting piece on ESPN.com, basically throwing out some myths that are out there for the 14 NFL playoff teams and then busting those myths. And the myth for the Titans was that the Titans defense is good enough to win in January. And it says, you know, Vrabel, with his experience on defense, you've got big-time players like Kevin Byard, Malcolm Butler, Jeffrey Simmons, who have played in big moments before. But he goes on to bust the myth that the Titans defense is good enough to win in January. And what he says is, quote, "It's just not even close to being right anymore. Of the 184 teams that have reached the NFL playoffs since 2006, This year's Titans ranked 183rd in defensive efficiency. The only team that was worse was the 2013 Chargers. They're the only team in the past 30 years to allow their opponents to convert more than 50% of their third downs. They got 4 sacks against the Texans on Sunday in their season finale to raise the total to 19 and avoid some degree of just awfulness. The fewest sacks by a playoff team since the 1970 merger is 18. So you hear those numbers that Graziano thrown out there of the 184 teams that have reached the NFL playoffs, the Titans are 183rd in defensive efficiency. That does not inspire a ton of confidence. And I believe Joe Rexrode may have left us on mute once again.
Oh, there's a new one. Now I went full screen. How about that? Sorry. Now wow. I'm looking at my face. It's like, I mean, it's just like this huge face looking at me, and I've got to change this or else I won't be able to think about this. Okay, let me just look away. Unbelievable numbers there by Graziano. And, yeah, it's I mean, you're talking – it took a 4-sack, you know, just bountiful day of pass rushing to tie for the worst sack total for a playoff team ever, you know. Again, the only team to ever allow more than 50% on third down, the worst ever, obviously. And that goes back to the stat being taken in 1991. But I'd venture to guess, based on just how the league has changed and it's so much more offensively dominated, that it's probably like you could probably go back through the ages and not find teams giving up 50% on third down. So it's just, I mean, this is all stuff that probably Vrabel will put in the locker room, right? And like if they say we stink and, you know, they say this number, that number, I don't care about that. You know, line up from that across from that guy and kick his butt and show everybody, you know. If you're the Titans, it's a new season and clean slate, but we've got a lot of evidence here to tell us that the only way they're winning is by having tremendous near perfect days offensively in these playoffs.
So in the matchup against the Ravens specifically, obviously they've done a good job. They've won both of those games in the last calendar year. What have they done defensively to limit how effective Baltimore's offense can be? We've seen it at times. I mean, heck, this Ravens offense last year heading into the playoffs was the most lethal offense out there, not the Chiefs. I mean, the Ravens looked really good. You had the league MVP in Lamar Jackson. And even though they were struggling earlier this year heading into the game, the Titans still did a pretty good job defensively in that game. What have they done in these two matchups against the Ravens that should give them confidence moving into this game?
Well, if you go back to last year's game, you have, first of all, two massive fourth and one stops, right? And that, hey, that's one thing that this Titans defense still has,
yeah,
is the short yardage ability to bow up and get a stop at the goal line or in a, you know, third, fourth and one. They're still good there. So those two plays were huge in that game. You also had early in the game, and I don't remember if it was Mark Andrews, but it was, you know, Lamar Jackson threw it a little bit hard, goes off his tight end, Titans pick it off. You know, you get those turnovers. And look, last year's game, very different from this year's game in that the Titans put the Ravens in a totally uncomfortable position of being down 14-0. They dominated teams to the extent they were never trailing last year. They were just playing from in front, running the ball, dictating the terms of the game. And just, you know, that shot to Khalif Raymond to make it 14-0. I mean, the entire stadium was just like, oh no. And it seems like the Ravens sideline was too. So situationally, it couldn't have been better last year. This year, very different. This year, I mean, the Titans have to make a big comeback. But again, it's a big turnover that plays a role. And I don't see the Titans winning Sunday unless they get a couple of those. I really believe that. They've got to, again, tip a pass, you know, throw a look that confuses Lamar Jackson. Yeah, try to get to him and get him in obvious dropback situations. That's obviously the book on the Ravens. Can you actually get them to 3rd and 8 where they have to drop back? The Titans have really struggled, obviously, in third down, in third and long, 3rd and 12, 3rd and 15. Who cares? They're in trouble, right? But against the Ravens, okay, that's not where they're not comfortable, and that's where you should feel, especially now with your secondary healthier. You got Fulton back now. You got Adoree back. You should feel better if you can get in those situations. The trick will be getting there. Assignment football, option football. the Titans have done a good job. I don't necessarily feel like that guarantees the same success Sunday. And the Ravens really are playing well right now.
Ryan Porth, you think back to the regular season, and the Titans had just come off an abysmal performance in Indianapolis, a special teams disaster in the second half. That game gets away from them. And I remember the next week, looking ahead to the Ravens game, you were very confident heading into that matchup against the Ravens. Do you share that confidence now? Early on, as we look ahead to this week and the matchup on Sunday, where is your confidence level in this Tennessee Titans team going up against Baltimore for the third time in the last calendar year?
I do not share the same confidence. That doesn't mean that I don't think the Titans can win Sunday, but I do not share the same confidence. And a lot of times, it's not exactly who you play, but when you play them, especially in a regular season. And when the Titans were playing the Ravens back in November, there was some turmoil going on with the Ravens offense. Marquise Brown was not happy with the amount of touches he was getting as receiver. J.K. Dobbins hadn't really found his place in the run game yet for the Ravens. And ever since that game, the run game has absolutely found its groove between Lamar, J.K. Dobbins, Gus Edwards. Mark Ingram's kind of become an afterthought within that running game. I don't think this week is catching the Ravens at the right time like you were catching the Ravens at the right time back in November.
I would agree with that. And, Joe, I think the key this week, if you're the Titans, you got to stop the run. Like, that's the bread and butter for the Ravens. That's what they do the best. That's what they've gotten back to in the past 5 weeks when they've rolled off five wins in a row. They've been very effective running the football. The last couple of weeks for the Titans, it hasn't gone well stopping the run. You thought maybe they were making some progress in that area. It's gone the other way in the past few weeks. To me, if there's ever a game, if you're the Titans, where you absolutely have to stop the run, it's this one. Because if you can force Lamar and that Baltimore offense, particularly if your offense has success, to be one-dimensional and to have to throw the ball and to get behind in this game, that to me is the formula for a win for the Titans on Sunday.
Yeah, but it's also kind of like, but it's graded on a curve too, right? It's graded on a curve because, I mean, for example, last year we're like, oh man, the Titans, amazing defensive effort. They win 28-12, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, well, the Ravens ran for 185,
right?
You know? So I mean, like, you can quote unquote stop the run and they can still have big numbers. It's just, again, I mean, to me, those two fourth down stops, huge moments of that game. Lamar Jackson actually had 20 for 143 in that game. But the running backs did not do anything. And that's the, you know, Mike Vrabel talked about this yesterday. The hard part with them is it's option football. It's assignment football. You work on that all week, right? It's just like, you know, in college, if you're playing a triple option team, all of a sudden it's like a totally different type of week of preparation. But the Ravens also have regular, like, gap running stuff with their running backs. What the Titans did last year was Ingram 6 for 22, Gus Edwards 3 for 20. You know, they stopped the straight ahead stuff, and then they really did a good job. I mean, Lamar Jackson broke loose for some runs as they were trying to come back. I mean, overall, they did a great job. They did a better job than in the first meeting this year. You know, Dobbins, I think, had 70 yards in that game.
Yeah.
So, you know, he is really coming on now. But that's what it just, it's a double, you know, it's a double whammy trying to stop them as a rushing offense, which is how they still rank first over the Titans, even though one guy for the Titans had more than 2,000 yards this year. I mean, that's how good they are on the ground. I just, you know, you've got to not let a guy like Dobbins, who's really hot, kill you with even just the straight ahead gap running stuff. So Dobbins had 15 for 70 in that game, you know, Lamar 13 for 51, but overall 33 for 129 for the Ravens. In a normal NFL game, that's pretty good rushing total against the Ravens. If the Titans keep them under 150 Sunday, Titans are going to win going away.
So let's get your participation on this, looking ahead to the game for the Titans against the Ravens coming up on Sunday. If you could pick one Titan, not named Derrick Henry or Ryan Tannehill, to have a good day against the Ravens, who would it be? And if you could pick one Raven, not named Lamar Jackson, to have a bad day against the Titans, who would that be? Let us know on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025, The Game.
Derrick Henry's had a couple of good games against you the last two timeout. Is there anything that you can do to prevent him from running wild, or do you just try to limit what he's got and then do what you can to contain that pretty potent offense that does have more weapons than just Derrick Henry?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, yeah, we're going to try to play our best defensive football game. You know, we're not one play at a time. We're going to try to make every play the best play we can play. And we're not conceding anything in any play. If and when they make plays, and you bounce back and you play the next play. So that's it, really. I mean, it's just that simple. So big picture type of observations are, you know, left for others. We have to play the plays and the game and come up with a game plan and stuff like that. So that's what we're going to try to do.
That was Ravens head coach John Harbaugh looking ahead to the matchup against the Titans on Sunday, and specifically defending against Derrick Henry, which the Ravens have struggled to do in the last two matchups against the Titans. And Joe, it was impressive. I think John Harbaugh hit every single cliche in the book with that response there. Very well done by him.
Oh, he's very good at that. Those Harbaughs know their coach speak, my friend. By the way, Jim, maybe we'll be in the NFL soon.
Maybe so. We'll have to wait and see what happens with Jim Harbaugh.
That was a called shot of mine last week.
It was.
He's got a contract waiting for him to sign with Michigan, and he hasn't signed it yet.
Yeah, so we'll
see.
That's
a domino.
We will see what happens there with Jim Harbaugh. But looking ahead to this matchup on Sunday against the Ravens, Joe, if you could pick one Titan whose name is not Derrick Henry or Ryan Tannehill to have a good game against the Ravens, and you can only choose one and just kind of let the chips fall where they may with everybody else, who would that Titan be and why?
Well, I expect good days from the offensive guys, so I'm looking at an assortment of defensive players here. I'm going to go with Kevin Byard. You know, a good day in run support, good angles, good big plays in support, and then a turnover or two, you know? I mean, Kevin Byard is your guy. Got one last year in this game in the playoffs. You want him to make a game-changing play. It's not been a great season for Byard. But I, you know, we've seen it just like we've seen this whole defense all year. The evidence tells us it's going to be a struggle. The evidence of Kevin Byard's career tells us that you should not count him out from having big plays in a big game in a game like this. And that's who I would choose.
I would go Adoree Jackson. I think you look at Adoree Jackson, obviously was not a part of this matchup last time that they played in the regular season. If he can get back to form and have an Adoree Jackson game where he's solid in coverage, it's very difficult to create separation against him. You can match him up in different ways, and he uses that speed, uses just the physical gifts that he has, maybe makes a big play with an interception. I think that could be the type of guy that changes the game for the Titans. I understand it. The first couple of weeks, they haven't been great for Adoree Jackson since he's come back in. But this would be a great time for Adoree Jackson to get back to playing towards the top of his game. The other guy that I strongly considered for this is David Long. Obviously, not having Jayon Brown in there. David Long played really well against the Ravens last year in the playoffs. I think if he has a big game in this game, you're stopping the run effectively. You're able to get in there and disrupt in the backfield. David Long was close, but I think Adoree Jackson would be the guy. I'm with you, Joe. Like, I expect offensively, Derrick Henry is going to be able to do his thing. I think A.J. Brown, Corey Davis, while I don't know if A.J. Brown's going to run through 19 people to get in the end zone again like he did in the first matchup, I think he's going to have a good game. I think he'll get his chances, he'll be open, and the Titans' offense can move the ball. Defensively, they just need all the help they can get, and you've got to have your top players defensively playing at their best in this game.
I would answer this question from a Titans perspective saying Harold Landry.
Okay.
The Titans need the absolute best game out of Harold Landry on Sunday. They need Harold Landry to be active around Lamar Jackson. He had that big sack on Lamar in overtime back in November. And if you can have a couple tackles for a loss coming off the edge, maybe get a sack on Lamar, maybe that's enough to throw off a couple of drives where otherwise the Ravens would be running it down your throat.
Yeah, I think it's interesting.
Those are all good picks.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to have it, and I'm disappointed in you, Porth. You did not pick Sam Sloman. I don't even know if he's going to play in this game, but Sam Sloman, got to have a good performance out of him.
I mean, you always need a good performance out of Mr. Sloman.
Yes, you do. We've learned that. It's very important throughout the history of the Titans. Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Nate texts in and says, Corey Davis needs to have a good day after his poor performance this past Sunday. The Ravens' run defense as a whole needs to struggle. Joe, when you look at Corey Davis, obviously a few drops on Sunday against Houston, I would expect that he has a bounce back game. Had a really good game last time against Baltimore.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, again, I think with Corey, I think he found a level of consistency this year that evidence tells me you don't worry about him because he had a couple uncharacteristic drops in the last game. He also had a huge catch late on that 3rd and 8. So I think he'll be primed for a big game. My number two choice was Jeffrey Simmons, you know, a guy who we just have not seen the disruption, the activity from him, guy who's been sitting out practice week after week, you know, with a knee. So you keep that in mind. But, you know, I think back to Casey last year in both the New England and Baltimore games. Jarrell Casey, to me, took it up a notch or two from a kind of disappointing regular season. The Titans could really use Simmons doing the same thing Sunday.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ron texts in and says, I would say either Evans or David Long because we need to keep a spy on Lamar and contain the middle. And, Joe, that goes back to a conversation we had before the first matchup with Wesley Woodyard, former Titans linebacker. And the key to defending that Ravens offense and Lamar Jackson specifically, he said, just make him go sideways. Make sure he's not killing you going up the middle, running around and extending plays that way or even running and killing you with his feet. I think the Titans have done a pretty good job of making him move laterally and not getting absolutely just torched in the running game by Lamar Jackson. And David Long, Rashawn Evans, certainly going to be very important in that regard.
Right. They have done a good job. And still, you know, he's run for, 220 yards in those two games. But, I mean that's still for him. And, again, a lot of it was – I'm sorry, 195 yards in those two games. That's still, again, for him. Some of it was kind of not quite garbage time, but coming back in the first game. And they did a really good job. You know, really, in that meeting in November, I think that was one of the surprising things. But I also think that was the Ravens, and we heard this from Jeff Zrebeck, you know, when he was on. You know, a lot of this year, I think, has been Lamar Jackson and maybe the Ravens too, kind of trying to change a little bit and be like, let's be more of a balanced downfield, straight up passing team. You know, you don't want your quarterback to take the hits he takes, but this late run, they've kind of gone back to, you know what, let's just embrace what he does great and let's just run all over people. So I do think the Titans are facing a team with a little bit different mindset offensively than they saw in November.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. TD from Nashville texts in and says, I need to see a good game from Coach Vrabel. He doesn't need to be out coached, and if he's calling the defense, he needs to call a good game plan against Baltimore. So TD taking a bit of a different route here, not going with the player. He's putting it on Mike Vrabel in this game. Got to come up with a great game plan this week against Baltimore.
Got to coach better, got to play better.
Yeah, buddy. Starts with coaching better. Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Chris texts in and says, can we save one name and have it count for two people and just say Evans? Defensively, Evans just has to step up and be strong in the running and stopping whoever he has to cover, Andrews. And the other Evans is a change up to Henry. If the Ravens focus in on Henry all game, maybe in the return game as well, Darrington Evans can have a big-time game as a special teams player. So saving some time there, Chris is going with Evans, did not specify, trying to get both Rashawn and Darrington included in that discussion.
That, hey, it'd be good for the Titans to have a member of this rookie class, do something positive at some point. No better time than a playoff game. Didn't see much of Darrington last week. You know, obviously they still trust McNichols more in pass protection. But yeah, you spend a third-round pick on a guy and he's healthy, yeah, unleash him a little bit.
So, Joe, if you had to pick one member of the Baltimore Ravens to have a bad game, not named Lamar Jackson on Sunday, which direction would you go with that?
You know, I think the obvious would be, you know, J.K. Dobbins, but I'm going to go with Marcus Peters. You know, as Zrebeck told us, you know, Marlon Humphrey is a stud. Marcus Peters is a guy who's a good corner, but the Titans have victimized him before, and I think they need to be able to – they're going to need to be able to throw the ball. I mean, you know, Williams and Campbell up front, that is a different defense. You might not have Saffold if you're the Titans. It is going to be harder to run against these guys. With those two guys, it's a very different front. So, yeah, I think you're going to have to maybe do a little more pass to run in this game. And if Marcus Peters could get torched repeatedly, I think that bodes well for the Titans.
I'm going to go with Marlon Humphrey. I think he's obviously really talented, and the Titans were able to have success in the first game. A.J. Brown, obviously, with a good game. Corey Davis with some huge catches in that game. If you can open up the passing game, which we saw the Titans do more and more of in the second half of the first matchup against Baltimore this year, A.J. Brown, big plays towards the end. Corey Davis with some huge catches on third down in that game. If you can open up the passing game, obviously we know a lot of attention going to be given to Derrick Henry based on how successful he's been not only against the Ravens, but pretty much against everybody at this point. If you can open up that passing game early on and keep Baltimore guessing, I think that's a great way to put up some points and attack this defense. And if you can burn Marlon Humphrey a few times, who obviously is really, really good, then I think that that bodes well for the Titans in this game. So I would go Marlon Humphrey. Ryan Porth?
I'll go with the obvious one and J.K. Dobbins.
Okay.
Because if Dobbins is not rolling, you know, he's a rookie, first NFL playoff game. Maybe he puts the ball on the ground at some point in this game. I don't know. But if he's not rolling, that puts a lot of the pressure on Lamar Jackson, who is already facing a lot of pressure coming into this game with a lot of noise coming from Baltimore around the league that he isn't equipped to win in the playoffs. So I'll go with J.K. Dobbins. And by the way, that run game for the Ravens right now, just looked it up during the break. In the last five games, which they've won all five games against pretty bad teams outside of Cleveland, they've run for 294, 231, 159, 249, and 404.
Jeez.
Average 267.4 in the last five games.
So, Joe, to your point, they've been getting it done on a pretty high level on the ground.
I mean, that's like college team,
yeah,
you know, guarantee game stuff, you know? That's like an SEC team playing an FCS team, 400 freaking rushing yards in an NFL game. That's incredible.
It's like Trey Sermon against Northwestern in the Big Ten title game.
It really was. Just doing whatever you want to do on the ground. Been pretty incredible to watch this Ravens offense in the past five games. When we come back, what do we make of the way that this bracket is shaking out for the Titans in the playoffs? What does it mean for their maybe long-term potential for another deep playoff run in the AFC? We'll discuss that. Also revisit our poll question of the day, all that coming up. And I'll also have a chance to give away the key word of the day for you to text in to have a chance to win the Reverse Retro Preds jersey and the EA Sports NHL 21 video game that we're giving away on January the 14th. So make sure you're tuned in for all that. All that coming up. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth there with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And if you have been waiting for today's keyword of the day, I've got it for you now. Today's keyword of the day is ICE. Text it in now, ICE, to the Game Nashville text line at 615-737-1025 to be entered for a chance to win a Nashville Predators reverse retro jersey and a copy of the EA Sports NHL 21 video game brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. Make sure you're tuning in tomorrow at 845 for the next keyword. The winner will be announced on Thursday, January the 14th. And also make sure you're tuning in every Preds game day morning at 845 this season for your chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click, also brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. So, Joe, we've been talking about the Titans, looking ahead to the matchup against the Ravens on Sunday, but look at the AFC playoff picture as a whole. Obviously, Kansas City, the number one seed right now. They'll have the week off. They'll play the lowest remaining seed in the divisional round of the playoffs. If you look at the Titans, obviously the four matching up against the five in the Baltimore Ravens, if they're able to win this game, if everybody that's a favorite in terms of the seeding wins, they'll be going to Kansas City. So if two seed wins, if the three seed wins, if the Titans win as the fourth seed, they'll be going to Kansas City. But as we know, it very rarely plays out that way in the NFL playoffs. And I look at the 3-6 matchup between Pittsburgh and Cleveland specifically, just based on the way that Pittsburgh's been playing, based on Ben Roethlisberger and how much he struggled in the second half of the season, I think there's a good chance that Cleveland can go in there and knock off Pittsburgh. I realize they've had horrible success against Pittsburgh in recent memory. Ben Roethlisberger has absolutely owned that team and owned that franchise. But I think that there's a good chance that Cleveland can come in there this weekend and knock off the Pittsburgh Steelers and have a sixth seed advancing to the divisional round.
I don't think Big Ben has ever lost to Cleveland at home.
I don't think he has either. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, like I think so too, and yet I just watched the Browns almost lose to Mason Rudolph.
That is true.
You know? But I agree. I feel like they've got a chance. It's amazing. You talk about the futility of the Browns first time since 2002, and now we're talking about them winning. But I think they match up, and I think that's going to be an interesting game, and that could obviously shake up the picture. And if that were the case, and of course, and the Titans get to the next round and beat the Ravens, that would probably send them to Buffalo instead.
So what
which isn't a treat.
And what kind of a chance do you give the Colts against Buffalo in this matchup? Obviously, the Bills, they are on fire right now. Josh Allen, that offense, Stephon Diggs, they've been incredible as of late. They're a much different team, a much better team, I think, than when the Titans saw them earlier in the season. What kind of a chance do you give Phillip Rivers and the Colts with their defense heading into that game?
I give them more of a chance than I think most of the people around the league will, because they do have a good defense. I think that, you know, I mean, and now granted, they've been weak in the secondary. They've been banged up in the secondary, and the Bills are throwing the ball at a high level. But well, I think that they can get to Josh Allen a little bit and make it uncomfortable for him. And Jonathan Taylor is absolutely rolling right now. He has found his game late in his rookie season. And, I mean, I think that they're going to be able to go against that defense and challenge them and score some points. Ultimately, it's the same analysis I have of the Colts from before the season. I like them a lot, and then their quarterback's going to screw it up.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've seen some of that this year, and obviously the one that comes to mind lately is just the collapse in the second half that the Colts had against Pittsburgh. It's interesting if you're a Titans fan this week. Obviously, look, you're going to have your hands full with Baltimore, and that's really all you should be worried about. But if you do look beyond that and you're trying to determine what the matchup in the divisional round could look like, whether it's Kansas City, whether it's Buffalo, whoever the matchup would be, like to me, if I'm the Titans, especially with that defense, I don't know that there's a lot of difference in going up against Buffalo and going up against Kansas City. I mean, I think you're going to be in trouble either way defensively. You're going to have to score a lot of points and know that heading into the game. So I know a lot of people all season long have just said, you know what, avoid the Chiefs at all costs, and that probably would still be the direction that I would lean. Like, I'd rather take my chances with the Bills than the Chiefs. But quite frankly, with this Titans defense, Joe, I'm not sure it makes that big of a difference based on the way that Buffalo's been playing as of late.
Right, and then, you know, so if you flip it around, which defense would you rather face?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's close there, too. It is closer than you would think on offense. I still think the Chiefs have been on cruise control, and they're due to put like a 50-burger on somebody, and the Titans would be a wonderful candidate for that. You know, but there is also the – again, it's secondary to the stakes at hand, but the Titans embarrassed the Bills this year. There's the Titans have, you know, those guys I know in that locker room have been pointing to another opportunity against the Chiefs. I do feel like psychologically there might be a little bit better, you know, frame of mind for the Titans going to Kansas City than Buffalo. Either one is one of those games that all things aside from that 42-16 game, one of those games that like you've got to find a way to get turnovers. And then, of course, your offense is under tremendous pressure every possession.
And speaking of the Kansas City Chiefs, let's revisit our poll question of the day at 1025 The Game on Twitter. Who would be your pick to win the Super Bowl in February? The options are the Kansas City Chiefs, which are the number one seed in the AFC, the Green Bay Packers, which are the number one seed in the NFC, or you can take the field, the rest of the teams left in the NFL playoffs. More than 260 votes in so far. 44% are taking the field, 33% going with the Kansas City Chiefs, and 23% going with the Green Bay Packers. So the field, 44% of the vote so far, Joe Rexrode. You've got some intriguing teams in there, like the Titans, like the Buffalo Bills, the New Orleans Saints, and the NFC. Tampa Bay, Tom Brady, he's got 40 touchdowns as a 43-year-old quarterback. That offense seems to be playing a lot better as of late. There are some intriguing options outside of the number one seeds in both conferences in the league.
Yeah, so Chiefs, Packers, because if I had it like it was one those two together, that's where I would go versus the field.
Yeah.
So that's 56%. That seems about right. I mean, I think a lot of people in the field probably are thinking about Buffalo. And, you know, maybe around here people are thinking about the Titans. I think the Saints are also really interesting to me. If Michael Thomas can be Michael Thomas, that's just – I mean, that offense is so different with and without him. But Chiefs-Packers, that's a little bit of a dream matchup of what? Super Bowl II rematch, right? I think that's – I mean, that's what I'm looking at. It's very obvious, but – you know, I think also you look at the new format, and those the only two teams that get that week now are the one seeds, and I think they've got a big advantage.
Well, if I had to vote in this poll, I would go with the Packers.
Really?
I'm really high on Green Bay right now. Really high on them. They seem to be rolling. Aaron Rodgers, this is just shaping up to be the ultimate statement Super Bowl where they draft his replacement for the years to come, and he goes out there without any additional weapons and goes out there and wins the Super Bowl.
I will say this. I think in terms of home field advantage, even in the situation that we're all in right now where the crowd's just not going to mean a whole lot in these games, I do think in the NFC that having to go to Green Bay and what the elements could look like in the next few weeks up there, that's a big deal for the Packers. I think the path to get to the Super Bowl – for the Packers is easier than for any other team in the league, and I would even include the Chiefs in that just based on the way the Bills have been playing as of late and just how loaded the AFC is. I mean, we're talking about the seventh seed in the AFC with an 11-5 record in the Indianapolis Colts. So I think the path to get there for the Packers is the clearest, is the easiest, because I think home field means a lot for them this time of year. So maybe in that regard, they're the most likely to win just because I think they're the most likely to get there. But I still think if I'm casting a vote, I agree with you, Joe. Like the Chiefs, to me, they look like they've been bored the past few weeks. And I guess you could ask the question, all right, if you've been kind of just going through the motions as of late, you've got a week off before your game now, and Mahomes didn't even play in the last week of the regular season, can he just flip a switch? Like, does he come back and that offense is just humming along immediately? I don't know. Maybe it's not. Maybe it takes them a while to get going. But they just, to me, at their top level, I still don't know if anybody's all that close.
Yeah, and listen, I do think there's something to, and we've seen it. We saw it with the Titans in Baltimore last year. There's something to, the team gets a week off, and maybe they can be a little bit punched in the mouth by a team that just came off a big win, just like the Titans last year in New England. They go to Baltimore, boom, it's 14-0, and it's just a totally different type of game than the Ravens ever would have guessed. There is, I think, something to the idea of Chiefs sitting out, like you said, they've been on cruise control. Maybe it takes them a little bit of time to get into something and you can surprise them. I mean, the Texans were up 24-0 on them last year before they woke up. So maybe it's not all that bad to be the team that plays them first.
And we'll get into all of this and more coming up with our man Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports. Lots to get to with the NFL playoffs getting underway this weekend. And we'll also talk about Arthur Smith as a head coaching candidate. Lots of rumors going around right now in the NFL. What does Charles think about the potential of Arthur Smith getting a head coaching job? We'll discuss that when we come back. This is Robbie and Rex Road, live from the Wholesale Link Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.